Hello and welcome to Techlandia. How are you doing? Grumpy old teachers number 6.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty soon we'll be up there with the Super Bowl 49. I'm John Samuelson. I am in Portland, Oregon, home of the Emerald City, over down in SoCal is the lovely, the talented, the one, the only,
Tim Bedley.
Tim Bedley. I wish we had had a person with a walker sound effect or something like that, or an ARP. They need an ARP sound effect. That's what I think. Father Time.
No, this is Scott Bedley. I am SCOTTEACH on the Twitters.
On the Twitters, I am JONSAMUELSON, otherwise known as John Samuelson.
Hey, John, just in, Global School Playdays Twitter account created 3 weeks ago has passed me in followers.
There we go.
I've had mine for I don't even know how long.
That could be that, or it could be this. Sad trombone.
Yeah, pretty much.
It doesn't matter. Twitter followers don't matter.
They don't.
I wonder how many quality
people following me. Just really quality only.
I know. I'll have to follow you. Wait, no. That'll break the streak then. I won't follow you. Oh, how are you doing, everybody, today? You know what? It's Saturday night at 11:25 p.m. Where else would we be but podcasting? Tonight's topics include Global School Play Day and Mystery Skype. Do you like how I let it off there? I was trying to be professional.
I thought you were going to say tonight's topics include
Mr. McNology. You know what? Mr. McNology will be on a grumpy old teacher soon. He wants to grump. I think he's away today. That's why I didn't invite him. I think he's I saw him doing some dance party stuff or something. I think he's out of town.
He's probably doing something. So how long do I have to actually wear this thing as we...
Okay, will you just say why that you're wearing it, and then I will grant you freedom.
I'm wearing it because of an interception.
You're wearing it because of a bad play call?
Yeah. You know what? I was so close. I mean, I was really a little bit of defense and a little bit of good play calling. And I would not have been wearing this. But congratulations to the New England Patriots, world champions once again.
And my score prediction was actually New England winning by 4 and New England won by 4. It was just, mine was 31-27, I think. What was your prediction, Scott?
I had Seattle 28-21 or something like that.
Yeah, it was good.
27-21.
You were close. All right. Well, you are absolved from wearing the cat mask and birthday cake now. I won the bet. That's all I needed on tape. I'm good. Did you see? All right. Now, we hadn't talked about this at all, but did you see that our two teams tied in our playoff football challenge? We tied exactly.
For 18th place.
Yeah, for 15th place. Let's be fair. There are 31 teams. We finished in the upper echelon.
That's not too bad, considering. No. I'll take it.
Yeah. Well, the thing that I like was I'm in the Sports Voxer group, and Bob Dylan was in first place 2 weeks in, and then he actually finished below us, I think. It just shows you how crazy it is. Well, I guess we got to congratulate the winner, because I looked at the winner. Congratulations to Drew Manock, who kicked butt, actually, and was – I mean, far and away, I called that one. You remember I called that one, right? Because I looked at him after the third week and I said, oh, there's no one that's going to touch him on that. You remember that?
He played it pretty smart.
Yeah, he did. You know what? He must have used that augmented reality freakish charm magic voodoo on his picks or something. You know what I'm saying? But congratulations,
Drew. I do know what you're saying.
Congratulations, Drew. Yeah, that was very impressive.
He smoked everybody. Sure.
Yeah, good job. Drew, I will not invite you back next year, though. No, I'm just kidding. Of course we will. So anyway, that was the Super Bowl. I don't know. What did you think of it? Anything?
You know, John, I was outside. Didn't even know a game was going on, just hanging out and riding bikes and kicking the soccer ball around.
There you go. Dad of the year. Well, so that actually ties into what we want to talk about, Global School Playday. How do you think it went last Wednesday? Global School Playday, you started about 3 weeks before the actual date. And how many participants? Give us the rundown and the lowdown on the hoedown.
Yeah, John, it was crazy. We ended up with over 65,000 kids signed up, registered by their teachers, six continents. Just amazing. I think we're, I don't know, if people go to the hashtag GSPD, they can see all the tweets and the pictures, and people are blog posting about it now. We're trying to curate all the information just to keep a history of it. But it's pretty incredible the amount of just things that were going on globally. And, you know, it was really interesting to watch and see what was happening in the classroom and see the kids and get some observations. And I don't know, I think it was a huge success for something that was started just a few weeks before. So
I think it just also shows that people really do just want to, at some point, there's some part of you that just wants to have some fun with the kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know. That's kind of what I took away from it. I thought, you know, that's what people are saying. They're saying, gosh, we really need more playtime. We don't need recesses cut.
Yeah.
We need some breaks. I don't know.
We need some breaks. I mean, every piece of research out there talks about our capacity and how long kids should be sitting and what's their attention span. And it doesn't say add more structured, focused time in. It says break things down and give more breaks. And, you know, kids' attention spans are so limited for content. And then it's even more difficult content than we've ever had before. So it's crazy to keep going in the opposite direction. Yet people keep going down that path of let's crush it out. And it's hard for me not to say that there's these, you know, when I hear kids that start basically at 7 a.m. and they go until after 7 o'clock at night. I mean, no adults are putting in those kind of work. I mean, there are plenty of adults that are putting in work hours like that, but they're not like, yay, let's put in this kind of work hours. These are kids.
Right.
It's crazy.
I start to think about, okay, so remember, we're old teachers. We're grumpy old teachers, but we're old. I emphasize the old. And when I went to school, I can remember grade school pretty perfectly for an old man. I remember that we had big fort-like structures that you could get splinters on and you would climb them. And they had little, like, planks between them that you could walk. And there's bunches of kids going all around there. I mean, we had so much stuff. And we would take a morning recess. We got from 12 to 1 for lunch, and you'd basically have to eat from 12 to 12:15, and then you could storm out of there and play for 45 minutes. And then we usually had an afternoon recess too. And what happened, I don't know. But, boy, I know I really looked forward to those times. You know, they were nice breaks in the day. Why have we, you know, now everything's so safe and structured, but boy, we had in the 70s, I don't know if it's just different era or what, but I mean, those wood fort structures, I always thought they were so cool. And yeah, they had beams that you would have to balance and walk on, and we had kindergartners through sixth graders playing on them. I don't know what switched, but I know times changed, but holy cow, that's a lot of recess. I mean, we're talking probably That's 80. I would guarantee we had 80 minutes of play, and that's not even counting gym if we had it that day.
Right, and how valuable was it, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's where you created all those social norms. That's where you learned how to deal with conflict. I don't know, just so many positives out of it that would play, again, just gets this weird rap now that it's a reward and that, it should only come after you've accomplished certain things. Not that it's part of that development, but it really is part of the development for kids. And for all of us, I mean, gosh, how much happy are we when we get a chance to play? We're not getting crushed every day by, you know, bad landlords and things like that.
Bad landlords, right. I know. That's what I was just thinking. I'm like, this is like our playtime right now, because I've been through a doozy, and I just learned that my this beautiful estate that you can see behind me that I'm renting right now in the lovely Beaverton, Oregon, we just found out that we were in basically very deadly conditions for the last 7 months, and there was no inspection to our dwelling whatsoever. The gas man came up and said, "Oh my goodness, I'm not turning your gas back on. You're in deadly conditions. You could have had carbon monoxide pumped into your house with the six of us." So, we stayed at the hotel last night. But, right, those I don't think we did that much today. But, boy, we're drained, because that was a draining thing to have to, like, go to the landlord and say, "Hey, what's gives here? You guys have got to fix this and fix it now." They won't even turn our hot water back on, because it could, if with the heat and the hot water turned on at the same time, it would pump carbon monoxide into our house. And I'm like, do you know how many times we've had the heat and the hot water on over the past 7 months? A lot. If there are any lawyers out there listening and you think I have a case, please contact me, and I'd be willing to listen, because they were nice to get it fixed, but they haven't been too apologetic for putting my whole family at risk.
Yeah, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's just one of those things. You're just like, where is the integrity, I guess, and I don't think we plan on talking about this, John, but I do think school is an important place for us to focus on character qualities in kids, and talking about integrity and some of those things that are just vital. And we all slip up and fail in our own ways, but my gosh, that's huge to put a family at risk like that. Like, that's just I don't know how somebody can really live with themselves knowing that that's the potential, if they're not going to, like, take care of something that they're renting out. It's just crazy to me.
Well, and right. And then my wife got there first when I said, let's go down and instead of trading emails, let's go down and actually talk to them face to face. And my wife was so livid, because they were so rude, and basically they knew exactly what they were going to say, because my email had said, "Okay, I'm glad you're working on getting it fixed, but you've basically, I've talked to two different people now who have said this, anyone with their naked eye could see that this was a dangerous condition." They're like, "Well, Oregon state law says that we don't have to check that out." I'm like, really? Oregon state law doesn't give me, the renter, any rights that the premise that I'm renting isn't deadly? That seems strange to me, and I think I'm going to check that out and make sure.
Yeah, right. I highly doubt that.
Yeah. Well, that she seemed all fired up and ready to go, and I don't know. But yeah, that's a crazy world that we live in these days. But I guess not as crazy as the wild and crazy 70s, where you got 80 minutes of recess, huh?
Yeah.
I love those times.
I remember the 70s. And the 70s, and that's the way it was, and we liked it like that.
We did. You know what? I used to walk to school like a mile and a half. I was just outside the bus zone. I was like eight houses outside.
So wait a second. Do you
expressways?
Is this an Oregon thing too? You have like a school that's a local community school, yet you have like hundreds of cars dropping kids off. Mm-hmm. And just massive, like, traffic issues, yet, it's a local community school that, it's only being you know, having kids come from the local surroundings too, and yet it's like tons and tons of traffic.
Right. The car lines are one of the biggest problems now in schools, it seems like, for before and like the drop off and pickup. It's so bizarre, isn't it? I remember it because I used to be one of the people in Texas, and our school was a little out there in Texas. It was like a little like it was a very pretty country, but it was on a hill. It wasn't really there were houses around it, but you kind of did have to drive there. And man, we sat there and fussed over proper procedures and thought about it. We must have wasted hours and hours of meeting time. And then finally, there were three of us, and we just said, you know what, we'll just come in the morning. I was always there early, and we'll just do the morning duty, and you guys can fight over the afternoon. But, you know, it was like a big deal about who would cover what duty. And so there were three of us, and I was one of them. I'm like, I just like being there in the morning. It's fine. I don't mind, you know, opening the door for the kids, and I kind of enjoy that. So yeah. There were three of us that took on that responsibility after we kind of got it right. We were like the drop-off experts, I guess.
Yeah, and you kind of need that now.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter where I go now. It's at every school. It's at my kids' school now. They luckily walk, but there's been a couple times it's been raining too hard, and I'll drop them off.
Yeah, and that's understandable if there's weather conditions and things like that. But, you know, it's I don't know. And then I have to think, like, okay, am I going to let my son walk to school? We have a local community school here.
Yeah.
I probably want him to.
Yeah.
Get a little exercise, you know. Mm-hmm. Get a little, energy out before you get into the classroom so you can be a little more focused.
Here's one that I always thought of, and I don't mean to keep. So, I never understood, like, in the morning. All right, so those people would come in the morning at my old school, and I remember when we used to go to school. I'm gonna keep sounding like Grandpa Sammy. We used to play before school. The bell would ring 5 minutes early. Then we would line up, and then we would come on in. I don't see schools doing that anymore. Like letting kids play. They all have to kind of sit in a nice row in a multi-purpose room or something, or inside somewhere. It's not like, I don't know if it's a supervision issue. I don't know if we're so afraid of being sued now that this is what we do. I mean, maybe all this has been shrinking because people have been suing. I don't know.
I do think there is a huge legal aspect to it all, and which is, yeah,
right.
It's about money. And it's too bad because who it's ultimately affecting is the quality of life for those kids.
Right.
And, you know, as much as – and you know, I'm not – I think people should have the right to sue if there's serious concerns and safety issues and things like that. But when they become frivolous and not really about keeping kids safer, more just about trying to get
– Right.
That's when it's just, I don't know. It's a bummer.
Well, so here's one. I'll keep going back. I'm gonna keep busting people out tonight. So the one thing that I used to like to do on lunch duty, and we would trade off lunch duty and take it ourselves in Texas. The one thing I really enjoyed doing was if it was basketball season, I would play basketball with the kids. This is, of course, when I was younger, and now I would just kind of roll out there, you know, Mr. Blob. But or if I would all-time quarterback if it was football. So I would always be out there, but I would be playing and kind of managing the football or basketball game or whatever we chose, right?
Right, right.
And then our new principal came in and just said, nope, can't play. You have to be supervising the whole time. And one time, first time he caught me, yeah, he read me the Riot Act. I didn't listen because I don't like to listen to stupid rules. And, and he caught me and, you know, said, like, threatened basically that if I was playing with them, I was shirking my responsibility, you know, even though there were two other teachers out there for the, you know, fourth grade, that I was shirking my responsibility and to write me up.
You know, I think it was Tim Bedley who tweeted out something recently about what happens when you eliminate rules on the playground. And it was like a whole, you know, post about basically nothing bad.
Right, right.
But the kids, you know, as long as there's an adult to supervise in general, it doesn't have to, it doesn't mean they have to be policing them like a, I don't know, like a, I don't know.
Right. Like it's life or death prison camp or something.
Yeah.
We actually had a new playground put in at that same school. And the rules were because there were, you know, we would have the, in Texas, you have the big kind of, you have the awnings in California where it's kind of like it puts shade over because it can get so hot. Do you have
we
those?
Probably need them though.
All right. So we had them in Las Vegas and we had them in Texas. And what we had when they got the new playground put in is we had rules that you actually had to walk on the playground. Like you couldn't run around the forts because kids might smash into each other or smash into the little pole that held one of those barriers.
Wait, what?
That was the same administrator made the rule that you couldn't run on the playground. You could walk fast. Can I be making this stuff up? I swear to you, I'm not making this stuff up.
Oh my gosh, it sounds unbelievable, though, John. Sounds unbelievable. The rule is that you, 8-year-old, who runs everywhere, who runs to everything. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever noticed? I mean, kids run to everything. Mm-hmm. They just run. That's like, and they got to walk. Wow.
That's
a serious control need. That's a heavy duty. I jumped into Sat Chat West Coast this morning, and we're talking about leadership. They had some interesting conversations going on there. It's like, you know, there's a difference between a boss and a leader, you know? And the boss has this control need, and they want to control all those little details. It's like, you know, you have to have your lesson plan book out on the desk before you leave with all the plans laid out because they're going to walk through. I know some teacher friends who've had that. It's like, oh my gosh, you have to have that out every day. It's like this weird control thing. Like, I don't trust you teachers.
Right.
I don't trust you kids.
Write your learning goals on the board, right? You have to have those learning goals or those learning targets on the board.
Check them off.
Common course.
Because if you have them written there.
0.2, because if you have them written there, you'll magically absorb it.
Yeah, and that means you really did something. It's not, I mean, gosh, that whole atmosphere, that kind of attitude, and thank God I have the principal I have. He is awesome. There's a level of trust. He treats us as professionals, and that's what we are professionals. You get what you treat people as, and when you treat them like they're untrusted and untrustworthy, I almost think it accelerates that desire to not do the things, or, you know, to not, I don't know, it's like legislating morality. That does not work.
Yeah. I don't know. Well, so anyway, those are all true stories. I didn't know those would come out with the talk about play, but yeah, I really enjoy. I saw at that same school they had their big staff football game, and they do like the fifth graders versus the staff, and they did it. So gosh, it would have been in February. We used to do it in December, the day before winter break, and it just keeps kind of getting pushed back and pushed back. The other thing that I think is funny is we used to have those games, like we would have a basketball game and a football game each year. Mm-hmm. And they were a lot of fun. And so for the basketball game, you ever have those teachers that take it a little bit too seriously and they're like in it to like win it competition kind of thing? I'm into not like babying the kids or whatever. Like I'll play basketball, but I'm not like going to sit there and go, ooh, and swat, you know, swat the,
you're not coming in hot with your elbows after a rebound?
No, I'm definitely not. Definitely not. But I'm all for also not like babying around or anything. And ever since we were we had a big winning streak going when, but they were always fun. The first year I was there, I remember I actually was driving it. Okay, if you can imagine this, okay, I used to be a decent basketball player. I was driving in. And I did a no-look behind-the-back pass to one of my friends, Jackie Boykin, and who is an aide in my class, and just teaching, like assistant teacher, and she made the layup that won the game. And then the kids dribbled down, and they were if they hit a 3-point shot, they would have won it. And I remember they kicked it back, and it was right in front of me. And I just kind of ran at them, but I didn't put my hands up or anything, and they just missed it. And my principal at the time was a different principal, and he looked at me. He's like, dude, why didn't you throw that into the third row? And I looked at him, and I said, you know what? If they hit that shot, they deserve to win the game. Those kids are superstar athletes now, too, as they're seniors in high school. But it's just funny. Those games were a source of fun. But also the thing that came with it is with that new principal, we had to throw every single game. So there was like no, like we had, so the kids kind of knew we were laying it on then because, so then my kids one year came back to me and said, those kids beat you that fifth grade. I looked at him, I said, sorry. I knew that those kids, the kids that were telling me, asking me were really, really good. And I just said, and they're really good athletes now as juniors in high school. And I'm like, man, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm like, we had to throw the game. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you. Because they felt bad that they hadn't beaten us.
The kids see through that kind of stuff. We used to always do a kids versus teacher softball game. That was kind of fun, too. Although you had to be really careful about how hard you hit that thing. Mm-hmm. You hit a liner. But
yeah, I mean, that's kind of what I'm like. If I took a shot, I would take it from way beyond like the 3-point shot in like that game. Right. I would never like come up and do anything crazy. I'd always try and pass and feed the ball to the other teachers.
You weren't just going sick crossovers and then reverse dunks.
Yeah. I think one time at the end I did well, cause they were at 9 feet. So I think I did dunk one in a game one time.
And then you're like that teacher who dunked.
Well, we had a lot of others.
Anderson dunked.
We had a lot of others that were dunking like way more than one time.
Dunkin' Donuts?
Yeah, Dunkin' Donuts. That's what they called me, Dunkin' Donuts, because I sat on the sideline and just ate Dunkin' Donuts while I couldn't score the game. It's pretty fun. Hey, I've got a tweet of the week for you. Ready?
Yeah, give it to me.
Okay, so here's the tweet of the week. Ready? Okay, now I'm going to butcher his name, but I know this teacher. And we want to thank John for listening. And I think it's John Porter, but it could be Portier, like Sidney Portier, but I think it's Porter. And he's a teacher in Texas. He said, I love that teachers want to put out what they're doing in their classroom. Hate the fact that they do it in this edufamous persona in doing it, TCA 15, because he was at the Texas conference. And so, John, thanks for listening. We do appreciate it. But, yeah, that's the tweet of the week right there. Somebody that's actually listening and then coining the phrase, in quotation marks, edufamous. I also found this one, be jealous, David TEDU and Mr. Zebarth, fresh Peruvian ceviche, be very jealous, Scott Teach. So what were you being edusarcastic with that one?
Oh, maybe just a little. But, you know, it's always good to tease David Terrio about food that you get.
Oh, my God. You have to tease David Terrio. Like, our Google Hangouts always work unless he's on it. I don't know what's going on with that.
I think it's his connection.
It is. He has a bet. He's like, I'm wired in. I'm like, I don't think so, Dave. And you can't fool us. You're not working. You're breaking the whole Google.
Is he a GTA?
I don't even know. Of course he is.
GCT? No, what is it?
I don't know. There's so much trouble in the GCT with David T on the MIC because our Google Hangout, our GHO isn't going to WORK. How about that for acronyms? Okay, so real quick.
Speaking of acronyms, let's talk about Tim Bedley really fast.
Let's talk about Tim Bedley, or as we like to call him, Father Time.
That is now his.
That's now his sound effect. Father Time.
Let's call him Father Tim.
I think we should. Are we to just call him lunch early to dinner buffet?
He's legit, man. He, like, the global school play day was, you know, he came with that idea, and so. You know, he's a world changer, John. He really is.
He's gonna bang the drum. And he's banging the drum already for next year's Global School Play Day. He's like, there's already 2,000 people signed up. Bang the drum.
And I'll tell you what, he really is a legit drummer, too. I mean,
oh, yeah?
He is Stuart Copeland undiscovered.
Ooh, so I like Stuart Copeland.
Yeah, for those of you guys that don't know who it is that are in your 30s, he is the former drummer of the Police. So.
All right, wait, here we go, ready?
Who is the Police? Sting's band. Who is Sting?
He was walking through fields of gold. Hey, pop culture quiz. Okay, here we go. What's your favorite song by the Police?
Oh, man. I don't know. Walking on the Moon's pretty good.
You like that one?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to have to look at Spotify. Let me see real quick. Police song. I like the one off, Synchronicity is just a classic album. I remember that concert came on Showtime, and they'd be hanging from the stuff, and Sting would be, goofing around. And there's some great songs that I liked King of Pain off that one.
Yeah. But
what's the album before it? Is it Zenyatta Mondatta or something?
Yeah, I think then that has Walking in the Footsteps.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Yeah, there's.
All right, I'm gonna think of it as I go, but there's one that I really, really enjoy. And I'm going to tell you what it is in a second.
I mean, everybody knows Don't Stand So Close to Me, right? And Roxanne. But I don't know. Walking on the Moon is kind of that classic. Maybe some people have heard of it, but it's.
Why is my Spotify not searching?
Spotify. Can you fix that, Spotify?
Spotify, we're fixing that. Let's see.
Hey, John, is this the part of the show where we mention our sponsors?
Oh yeah, why don't you do the honors this time? Floby said they needed a little bit more pep in that.
When it comes to haircuts, there's only one that sucks the best, and that's Floby. The people at Floby want to encourage you to get a vacuum cleaner and get the Floby and get your haircut. Save hundreds of dollars a year by using the Floby. Visit them at Floby.com or a retailer near you.
An As Seen on TV retailer near you.
That's right.
We've got to mention this. We've got to mention them earlier, or else they're going to say that we're not living up to our end of the contract.
We love the people over at Floby.
They are nice to us. So look at my haircut right now. It's looking pretty fly. I need to just dye it.
I'm waiting.
I need to dye it, but I need to dye my hair.
Okay, don't do it.
My favorite Police song. Every little thing she does is magic. Everything she do just turn me on.
A little steel drum in there. And
Yo. I used to listen to that on my clock radio.
You know what? I don't think. That was my very first compact disc I got. And I got an Emerson. No, was it an Emerson? Gosh. I just remember getting a compact disc player and being so pumped up, and I got a Police CD, and I got, what else did I get? I forget what else I got, but one of them was a Police CD, and that was the very first compact disc I got.
I remember the first compact disc I got, too. It was a very important part of my life. I remember that I got a boombox with the CD player on top. That was my one. And I got it just for the album Paul's Boutique. So
that was your first?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I think I had I don't know. That really? That's kind of old, John.
I don't know. When did compact disc players come out?
They came out
87?
No, 84?
Okay, I'm gonna check that. Maybe 80, I was just poor.
82? Everyone still had cassettes.
Yeah, you know what? Time. I mean, I can remember in 1986 buying Kasingles still. Remember Kasingles? Where you just put them in? I remember buying new shoes, Kasingles. Bubba baby, I can't wait.
Keep singing that, please.
That's the only part I know. But yeah, new shoes. I just like the little doo 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 doo. Yeah, so I don't know. I'll take a look. I could swear I was pretty early on the because then with the CDs, then you would buy I'm going to buy Rush's greatest hits or something to backfill everything, or Bob Marley's greatest hits. You'd buy that. I didn't buy Roy. I'm not talking for me. I'm talking about my roommate in college. He bought all those. I bought new ones. I would buy like Tribe Called Quest and Paul's Boutique and stuff. Because I'm cutting edge. I wasn't trying to backfill anything. You know, my roommate buy like Bad Company's Greatest Hits. You'd be like, really? That's what you're bringing to the table? I'm like, we're in college now. I'm not trying to like, you know, impress girls from the 70s. I'm trying to impress girls in the 80s and early 90s. Oh, okay. I wanted to talk about Mystery Sky, but we should probably cut short because we don't want to be those guys that go on for hours, do we?
You want to talk maybe, Mystery Sky? Probably not.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm seeing like early 80s, John, on this. I'm, you know,
from... On Compact Display?
Yeah. 83,
84. Okay. Well, I mean, that's why they have the Google. Why did I not have a compact disc player? I think I bought mine in 89. Yeah, commercial. They've been available since 1982. You're right. I think I was just poor.
Well, I mean, my dad was a principal. I think he was making about 15 grand a year.
Do you mean Gene Bedley?
Yes, Gene Bedley. And you know, we shopped where all good educators shop, and that was at the swap meet.
Oh, my gosh. What is this about teachers that love to go to the swap meet? So did my parents. They always went to the swap meet before they got divorced. At an early age, by the way. You wonder why I'm this way I am? It's because my parents got divorced when I was like 10.
And I think so the swap sad. Meet's kind of where you, John, come on. You're amazing, dude.
You know what? It was for the best. If you knew both of them, trust me.
I think the swap meet's where you kind of get exposed to the world, too. And you're like, oh, wow, I didn't know. Ah, yeah. Like, look at that T-shirt. What is that?
Yeah, what does that mean? Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Well, so, yeah, the swap meet was fun. We used to go to swap meet a lot. We would go to Bob Evans restaurants, swap meet.
And we would go to Bob's Big Boy and the swap meet.
Oh, that's good, too. All right. Well, I do want to talk next time. Can we talk a little mystery? Because you are the master of Mystery Skype, or at least you are knowledgeable, Mystery Skype?
Yes, I would say.
Knowledgeable. Okay. So we tried it's the first one I've tried in like 5 years. And,
can we talk about it really fast?
Sure. Let's go ahead. So I was thinking about this. Okay, here's my idea for innovating Mystery Skype. Ready? This is my idea. Tell me it stinks or tell me it's good. I was thinking about the next time before we did it to send out a Google form to the kids and just have them rank, like give them a little definition of each role and then have them rank which one they would like to do and then see if I could fit them into groups that way just for kicks and giggles. Not that that's a great innovation, but I just thought, hey, maybe we could do this and see if we could put everybody like at the role they wanted to be at. Think that works or not? I don't know what that meant.
I know, that's what I like. Is that good or is that bad?
I think that was like the Gong Show and Chuck Barris just said, no, sorry. Sorry.
Sorry.
Soupy Sales says, no way.
You know what? I think that would be a cool way to see what kids are really interested in ahead of time and not having to do that in class. So, yeah, if you push that form or whatever.
Like the day before?
Kids, yeah. Yeah. No, I think it would be fun. It would give them a more of a feeling of a choice in it. I always like to give the kids a choice in their positions and what roles they're going to play in the game. So,
because I kept thinking I was just going to go like this group, this group, this group. And I was like, you know what? I should give them choice. We should send out a Google form and then it would kind of like reinforce them. They could kind of look at each role and be like, huh, okay, that's what that role does. Maybe I don't want to do that one and just rank them reverse 5 through 1. I was only going to have 5. How many roles do you have when you do Mystery Skype?
How many roles? I think it's closer to like 12.
Oh, jeez. Okay, I was just trying to I was just trying to get the basics in. So maybe you'll have to give me your roles sometime then, because.
And John, I even do this. Okay, so yeah. I found. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
I found because I'm in California, right? So we get. I mean, there's like 3 question beat down on us. It's like, do you touch an ocean? Yes. Pacific Ocean, yes. California, done. My kids are like crying, you know? And I'm like, no, no, not again. We lose again. So I found that we actually split my class in half. And mm-hmm. I have two teams competing against each other to figure out the other classroom, because we would lose so fast almost every time just because we're in California, you know. Once they narrow it to the Pacific Ocean, that's where they're looking pretty much. Sorry, yeah. Oregon and Washington, we love you, but I know. They just, that's for us. Whatever reason, they gear down on California. And they never think like, oh, Alaska and Hawaii kind of touch the Pacific too, just a little bit. But So that's a little bit more advanced, but it's fun to see the kids in class competing while they're also competing as a whole class to mm-hmm. try to, figure out where that other classroom is. But I think the best part of the Mystery Skype by far is the share out at the end when you can connect with the other kids and they get to ask each other questions. And they're always like, it's lunchtime here. And my kids, it's like 8 and they're like, what? It's
like, right. That's what we had too. It was, they were leaving to go home and they're like, what did you eat for lunch today? And we're like, we're going to lunch right now.
They're like, no fair. You guys get to go home right now.
And I'm like, yeah, that's the beauty of time zones.
And they're always, I don't know if you've experienced this, but the funniest question is like, what do you guys eat out there for food? It's mm-hmm. like, and so it's just these interesting little questions that kids have. I think that makes it really cool.
And you would say In-N-Out Burger.
Absolutely.
You know, I was listening to a Voxer the other day, and Bill Selleck was Voxing, and he said, wait, hold on. And then he stopped his Voxer. He came back and he said, oh, sorry, I was swallowing my In-N-Out Burger or something. And I was like, Bill, you can't wait until you're done eating your In-N-Out Burger to Vox. It's like Bill gets so excited. He gets so pumped up. He's like trying to Vox while he's chowing down like a grilled onion.
Bill can be a Vox master.
He is. He is usually a Vox master. On that one, I would say he had a little... Finish chewing your food before you Vox. A public service message from grumpy old teachers.
I kind of got to get better at that too. I'm getting a little lazy.
Well, we don't want to say where I Vox from. That would make it real lazy.
I think quite a few people do.
Yeah, Diane Main's one of them too. My sister from another mister.
Wait, hang on, John.
Uh-oh.
Tim just bought another pair of skinny jeans on Amazon.
Uh-oh. And also... That's because he just lost 3 pounds during this podcast.
Oh, man.
Now he's up to, it would take 5 Tim Bedleys to equal one of, like both of us combined. We're like.
Yeah, he could throw us both across the room.
Yeah, yes, he could beat us both up with his, well, he has a cane too, so in fairness, and the walker. He can block off shots.
I love you, Tim Bedley.
We love you, Tim. We love you. Good job with Global School Play Day. Good job, Oliver. Who else was in it on it?
Eric Sable.
Eric Sable. He's a good man.
Bethany, Misty. Let me see who else. You know what? Even your bud, Miss Geeky Teach, was in there.
Was she helping out?
She's kind of like our silent partner in it all.
Miss, you got to watch out for Miss Geeky Teach, though. She'll... If she drives you somewhere, forget about it. She's going to be I think one time she's going to get into trouble with her driving and her crabbiness while she drives. She's sweet as the other side of the pillow all the other times, except for if you put her behind the wheel, she gets road rage very easily.
That's where it all comes out.
That's right. All right. That's what she's just, you know.
I mean, she does live in Vegas, so.
Yeah, the Vegas drivers are bad. I lived there for 7 years. I can vouch for it. All right. Well, thanks. All right. So I'll keep mystery Skyping. Anybody wants to mystery Skype with us with a class, by the way, we're there for you because I can remember I work for the school district. I can get any kind of class you want. So let me know K-12. See if we'll try and make it happen.
John, That's did great. We want to mention our other new sponsor that we're bringing on this week?
Oh yeah. Do we have a new one? You did this. Okay, go ahead.
We'd like to thank the people over at Chia Chia pet.
Chia pet too.
Chia pet. Yeah, Chia Pet has agreed to come aboard as a sponsor, and we want to just welcome them and thank them for even considering participating in this show.
That's and, nice.
They're making an actual John Samuelson Chia Pet.
That's
right.
That's why with the hair like this.
And they're coming out with one for me where you just grow the facial hair. It's like, gee.
Gosh, did you tell them those will sell at least one model to both of us?
Yeah, my mom's committed to buying one too. So.
Oh, gosh. My mom's going to buy one and then like throw it against the wall or like hang it up like a voodoo doll.
Oh, yeah, right.
She's like, that darn kid. You know what's really healthy too is chia seeds.
They are, and that's really the great are. Thing is after you grow your chia pet, you can actually eat them.
Just eat it.
Or juice them, John.
Oh my gosh.
So oh, thank geez. You to the people over at Chia International.
Chia. That's nice. You know what we should do? We should make that should be our thing. We should get Chia Pets to make a series of edufamous busts of people. Now.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that would be great. I have a few people in mind. Oh boy, that would be fun. I would get a Chia Pet of some people, of some edufamous people.
Would you?
Yeah, well, all right, so the first one.
No, don't say it.
First one, we swore we wouldn't talk about our other podcast, but we're going to have him on Monday, is Dean Shoresky. Who wouldn't really want to have a Dean Shoresky Chia Pet? I mean, he is one of the nicest people. And you know why? He's edufamous. We're going to have him on the show because he is so nice. And my edufamous, like, secret clause for having you on Techlandia is if you're Canadian and edufamous, we will have you on the show. I allow Canadians. I mean, Justin Bieber, if you want to come on Techlandia, we'll have, I mean, he's kind of a trying to get the U.S. citizenship thing going. We'll have him, Michael J. Fox, Jim Carrey. Maybe I should start tweeting at them to see if they'll come on any one of the Landias. Yeah, that's not happening.
You could maybe, you know, get somebody to marry him and get their, U.S. citizenship.
That's right. So we'll have Dean Shoresky on. Dean Shoresky is very funny. It took a Canadian to land him, too, because Victoria Olsen's the one that asked. Whenever I asked him,
not
just brushed me
it.
Away. Yeah, Shoresky just, the Shoresky patented brush off. He'd be like,
those,
no.
Those den teachers.
Yeah. You know what I said to him? All right, here's my joke, and then we will, all right, see if you like this joke. So we were talking in our sports boxer, and Shoresky's in that one. So we start, and there's a bunch of people, but we talked about, there's a name drop right there.
This is a hockey?
Yeah, so he tries to talk hockey. We're not having any of that. But so he goes, he's like, well, you know, who are some people that were game changers in sports? And he said, like, Kurt Flood because of the free agent rule and, you know, and all that stuff. And so we're going through, like, this, you know, deep discussion. I said, you know what, I've got an ed tech game changer. And I don't use this term lightly. He's a really nice guy, very smart, written books, goes and speaks all over the place, works for Discovery Network, the Discovery Education Network. He's just a class act, and I can't say enough about him. Steve Dembo. Because he thought I was going to Shoresky, and then he just typed back, you jerk. he'd even bother to voice respond. He said, you jerk, text.
Well, do you know he's my cousin, Shoresky?
Is he really? I didn't know that.
You didn't know that?
No.
Ask him. He's
okay.
He's one of our cousins.
Oh, that's cool. Well, he must be cousins with David Theriault then, because David Theriault is Canadian.
Is David Theriault Canadian?
He's born in Canada.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, did you not know that?
I knew he had relatives in Canada. I didn't know he himself.
I think he's Canadian.
Canadian. I say A to you, David Theriault. A.
A.
That's all I say.
I say, hey, take you. You know what? I say, take off, you hoser. To the great white north. All right, now we've really stalled it. Where are we cutting this thing? We have to cut some of that.
Are there any viewers, live viewers out there?
There was one for like 4 seconds, and then they got really smart. Let me also just say that I've been looking at the Techlandia stats, and if you are one of the listeners that is on one of our different continents other than North America, because I've seen there's been a bunch lately, you know what? Tweet at us, and we'll have you on the show, because your time difference would probably be pretty comparable for the midnight hour that we're up right now. So if there are some of those people, I've seen some New Zealand, I've seen some, there's been Africa, countries in Africa.
Nice.
Oh man. Yeah. I'm like, you know what, if you're listening to the show, let us know. You're about like, you're probably like getting up in the morning when we would come on the air. Well, we'd love to have you on, just chat.
Or if you are
Mr. Technology. I know, I get so lazy with it now. I haven't done a better one. Mr. Technology. We're going to have him on soon.
Tim Bedley.
Tim, Father Tim. Anyway, well, so we'll have Jeremy on here pretty soon. What do we want to talk about with Jeremy? Competition in schools?
I can only think of one thing. Hashtag future ready.
Future ready. Maybe we need to talk to him about future ready.
Yeah.
Maybe we need to say that we want to know a little bit more about future ready. I think it sounds like a cool hashtag, but is there any substance behind it? That would be the answer. Right. Is it that? Is it that or is it this? Is it really going to help? Is it really Arne Duncan propaganda? Or is it real? You know, I saw a flyer from Digital Learning Day, and they didn't have Jeremy's picture on it.
Was that your door, John? Is somebody at your door?
That is, it's the landlord. They're coming in. They're coming in to tell me it's been safe the whole time, not to, you know. Those guys didn't know what they were talking. The three different people didn't know what they were talking about, including the person from the actual gas company that wouldn't turn on my hot water again till we got it fixed.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Well, we will catch you on the flip side.